Good Companions.
The train may well be late. We're forced to wait in the rain and snow and slush. And the seats may well be cold. The theatre hope are in guilt and pain is lush.
Only one door that closed the bar.
I could do with a pint.
So?
Not bad for a half empty house.
Not what I would call a night, though. I cannot sing to stir.
Yes, still far too many of the Wood family out from.
Yes. What we need is a bit of publicity here.
I must say, I'd like to show Miss Trant a real night. A full house, encores all round, and five curtains, and bucker up no end.
Oh, well, maybe Saturday. Yes. Now then, Joe, what about that drink?
Oh, yes.
I dare say you're ready for one too, Jonathan.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing how thirsty one gets tickling the iris. Very true.
Coming, Jimmy? Oh, if only I could, Inigo, but you know it's all poison.
Oh. Listen, Granny Tesco, none of your leaf here, because she'd like a word.
Oh, yes. What about?
Company Colonel on a Thursday night,
under yours. No, I'm not right certain what it's about, but she's got some reporter chap with her.
A reporter?
Publicity. Just what you wanted, Jerry.
Yes, but what about our drink?
Oh, here you all are. I'd like you to meet Mr. Priestley, who writes for the Sandy Bay Clarion.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. He wants to write something about us, about the Good Companions and how we met and all that.
We'll have to write it down quickly, then, if it's been any use to us.
Yes, Jimmy, that's why I asked you all to stay. Mr. Priestley thinks he can get an article in tomorrow's edition.
I'll do my best. Enjoy the show, by the
way. Oh, you're a young man of peace.
You're not the usual sort of Piro troop.
Don't say Piro troop. It makes me think of being on the sands and racking a box around the ground.
Private party, please.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's certainly not the usual sort of show.
It's a show that ought to go.
It ought to go big.
Yes. Well, I suggest that you all get changed and come back here. Mr. Oakroyd could fetch us some sandwiches. And something to drink, of course.
Nothing?
Hang on. Just let me get this straight. Are you saying this company has only just been formed?
The Good Companions, yes.
Mm. We were the Dinky Doos before. Mm.
The Dinky what?
Doos! Oh, come on, Elsie, Mrs. Jones. Oh, yes, let's go, Mrs. Reachy, a bird.
Come along and try the new dance phrase. Dinky Doo, Dinky Doo, Dinky Doo. So have your baby dogs get out of things and
Well, something like that.
And three of you are amateurs, is that right?
Well, yes, that is.
A rank amateur, that's me.
You're the pianist, yes?
In the ear, Jonathan, VA Cantab, at your service.
And the third is Mr. Oakroyd?
Aye. Well, I'm a joiner and carpenter, be safe. I knew not about theatre till I met up with this lot.
Oh, how did it happen? How did you meet?
Ah, well, now, you're quite a story.
Inigo, why don't you start? You were a teacher, weren't you?
Oh, my hat, yes. History, French, English literature, cricket and football, and music. Wolfsbury Manor is a preparatory school. Very minor, but little boys whose parents are in the colonies. India, mister. Horrible place, absolutely. At the school, not India. On the edge of the Thames, don't you know? Terrible flood. Headmaster, Mr. Targan, a poor fish, and his wife, a gorgon, absolutely horrible woman. All we get to eat was shepherd's pie, which no shepherd would ever touch. And prunes. And she was most unreasonable about the schoolroom piano. For some days, a very impudent little tune had been capering at the back of my mind, and I knew I'd have no peace until I got it right.
Got you.
Mrs. Tarvin.
Didn't you hear me calling?
I'm afraid not.
I thought it was clearly understood that this piano was not to be played in the evening.
But that's the only time I can play it. Absolutely. After all, I give some of the boys music lessons, and I can't give lessons unless I play myself sometimes,
can
I?
The music lessons are not important. Not important at all. In any case, it is not necessary to play music hall tunes in order to give them.
No, but
that
please
will do, Mr. Jonathan. The rule is that this piano shall not be played in the evening. Good night.
Oh, Lord. Only a week of term gone. Weeks and weeks more of that Harridan. I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't a bust-up. A bust-up of the most astounding and shattering proportions. I was right, of course. It happened on my birthday, which I celebrated with Thorntley, the senior master and a damn good teacher. The only one of us who was. We'd gone down to the schoolroom with a couple of bottles of old Rob Roy whiskey, obtained through some associate of Fauntley's. Powerful stuff.
Absolutely.
Having drunk your health, Jolliffant, I will now proceed to give you a little good advice.
Hey, don't bother with advice, Fauntley. Have another drink.
No bother at all. My advice is this. Get out of this place. You don't like it, and I don't think it likes you. Thank you.
This bottle's nearly played out. I'll open the other. Look, what am I to do, Fauntley, when I get out?
Well, you write a little, don't you? Why don't you become a journalist?
I've thought about that, and it's useless. But the sort of stuff I write, don't you know?
Well, that's no good, then. Well, what else is there? Of course, you're devilishly clever at the piano.
Thank you, dear. That reminds me. I concocted the gorgeous little tune the other night.
Let's have it, Jonathan.
Please. The Tarvin.
She's out. They're dining in Dullingham. Come on, Jonathan.
Shall I just shut the door?
No need. They're out, I tell you. Give me some more whiskey so that I can drink confusion to her.
Right you are.
Is that it?
It is. Do you like it?
That's great, Jonathan. Go on.
Tune that the Gorgons stopped me playing the other night.
A damned shame.
The music lessons are not important. Not important at all. I loathe the woman.
Do you indeed?
How now, you secret black and midnight hag?
What? Did you hear that, James?
Well, yes.
I have never been so insulted in all my life, and by one of our own masters. Oh, the schoolroom of a taproom. Oh. Mimicry and insult and abuse. Why don't you say something, James? Tell him to leave at once.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Jonathan. You're drunk.
He's a bit tight, Darwin. Birthday. Get him to bed.
Pardon me, Fauntley, but I am perfectly sober.
and I refuse to be got to bed.
Is this the fellow to stay here?
Of course not. Expect me, Sidney.
He must leave in the morning. I won't have him here a moment longer, not a moment.
Quite understand. Disgraceful business. Rather awkward, though, to leave in the morning.
And why, pray?
Well, must have a terms notice.
In short, if I leave in the morning, you must pay me a term's salary. £52.
I don't care about that. I'll have him out tomorrow, whatever it costs.
Very well, my dear. You will have your terms check in the morning, Johnson. And leave us then.
I am not leaving in the morning.
Certainly you are.
Oh, no, I am not.
What?
I am leaving tonight. Now.
Don't be an ass. You can't leave tonight. There's no train. You couldn't go anywhere.
I can walk. It's not raining, is it? I leave tonight. Mr. Tarbin, I will ask you to make out my check now.
What is this? Some ridiculous jollof.
Oh, let him go. Let him go.
And so I went. I was heading Peterborough way. It wasn't a particularly nice night for walking, but I managed to get a lift in a lorry. That took me as far as Dullingham Junction.
And that's where I met you, my boy.
And there you are.
Morton Mitchum. That's my name, Priestley. Banjo player. And prestidigitator. Conjurer to you. Been round the world 4 times. Why, I remember once in South
Dakota. Oh, for goodness sake, let Inigo get on with his story.
My dear Miss Longstaff. This is where it becomes my story, too. I was on my way to find the Dinky Jews, having heard from Joe and Mrs. Joe here.
Miss Cavendish, if you please. Stella Cavendish is my stage name, Mr. Priestley. And the contralto. And my husband is the baritone, Courtney Brandit.
Otherwise known as Joe.
Yes.
Well, when we met in the waiting room at Dullingham Junction, Jonathan was a little the worse for wear.
The old Rob Roy.
So I didn't realize what a talent the boy possessed, there being no piano there. However, it chanced that our paths crossed again a couple of days later in the singing room of a pub in Nottingham.
Get over there!
And I was endeavoring to entertain the audience with a few feats of sleight of hand.
I want a lady or a gentleman to take a card. Now, you, sir, take any card? Why, I know you, my boy, don't I? I'm just trying to place you.
We met the other midnight at Dullingham Junction.
Of course we did. Well, now, perhaps the gentleman next to you will take a card.
Never mind about cards. I want a bit of music.
It's all in good time, sir.
But I like a bit of music.
Here versus you.
That's me, where's that?
The pianist, Ted, has unfortunately not turned up to
me. Real talent!
But if you insist, ladies and gentlemen, I shall try what I can do with the unaccompanied banjo.
Look here, Mr. Mitchum, I think I could knock something out if you really want a pianist.
Of course you could. Let's go.
Right you are.
To the enormous enthusiasm of the audience and the delight of the landlord. Enthusiasm generally leads to thirst.
Oh, yes.
Indeed, I believe he offered you Ted's job, didn't he, Jonathan?
Yes, I just did it for a laugh.
And to oblige a friend, of course you did. And to return the favor, I bought him supper and told him about the Brundits and the Dinky Doos, mm-hmm. who, according to a notice in the stage, were playing at Rosalie just then.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there might be an opening for him.
And I said I couldn't possibly be a Dinky Doo.
Oh,
yes. It would hurt, absolutely.
What do you mean?
The name, you know.
I said if I didn't mind the name at my age, why should he and his? So we agreed to travel on together to Rosalie, where we found, to our consternation,
that the Dinky Doos were no more.
But the remnants of the troupe were to be found at the station refreshment rooms. Sole prop,
Mrs. Mounder.
Oh. Ah, and that's where me and Miss Trout come in.
But what had happened to the dinky-doos? Let Jimmy tell him.
Yes, come on. Jimmy Nunn produces our show, Mr. Priestley, and he's one of the best comedians going in concert party work.
Quite. Now, it was like this, Priestley. The Dinky Doos have been in Rawsley 1 week, and we should never have been booked there for more than a dead and alive hole like that, when the chap that was running the show vanished.
Vamoosed.
Disappeared, with all our takings and the young woman who played the piano for us into the bargain.
The world's worst, to the pianist she was.
Oh, ghastly. If she ruined my act once, she ruined it 50 times. I do a bit of everything, Mr. Priestley. Sing a bit, dance a bit, you know.
Yes. No, quite well. We hadn't had treasury for 4 weeks. We couldn't settle the digs, let alone the rent for the theatre. Well, hall it was, really. So they took all our props in lieu. I still blame myself, I do. Who has had the most experience? I have. I ought to have known.
So what did you do?
Well, as Oakroyd just told you, that's where he and Miss Trant came in.
Go on, Miss Trant. Tell him your story.
Oh, yes. I don't think he wants to know about me, Susie. The newspapers are interested in new performers, not middle-aged spinsters.
No, Miss Trant. I think my readers will be fascinated to know how a county lady like yourself comes to be managing a piano concert party show.
Thank you. Come on, Miss Trant. Tell him about Effie and the stolen car.
My story began a little while before Inigo's birthday Monday, and in a different part of the country. Hitherton on the Wold, in the Cotswolds, you know. You see, my father was ill for a long time, and I looked after him, and then he died. Oh. And I had to let the hall, that was our house, and auction a lot of the furniture in order to pay the bills. Oh, it all was rather a strain, and I was thinking I needed a change of some kind when my nephew came to stay the night. Hilary had just come down from Oxford, and I understood that he was being called to the bar.
No, that's Father's idea, but I don't intend to go on with it. The law is a contemptible profession to a man of real intellect.
I see. So what are your plans, Hilary?
Well, you've heard, of course, of the Oxford static.
No, I haven't.
Oh.
We never hear about anything down here, you know.
Well, it was a magazine we ran, a review of all the arts, even dancing and films. And now we're thinking of transferring the thing to town, calling it simply The Static. Lots of important people are interested.
Well, I can see that it excites you.
Well, think of the possibilities. You might like to be a part of it, Aunt Elizabeth.
What are you going to do?
Now that your life is your own.
Good question, Hilary. Oh, by the way, I had a letter from your great uncle George this morning.
The tea planter man. What does he want?
To give me some money. He says my father owed him £600, and the solicitor, Mr. Truby, paid it out of the estate. But since Uncle George knows it's really coming from my inheritance, he sent it back.
Good for him. You'll take it, of course.
I think so.
You jolly well earned it. And you haven't much money, have you?
Well, I shall probably have about £300 a year when I've let the hall. And I've about £1,000 coming from the auction.
And then there's this windfall. I say, I suppose you wouldn't like to put some money into The Static, would you?
No. I don't think I would, Hilary.
I thought not. You didn't mind my asking, did you?
Not at all.
Good. I've got about 100 that I can spare, but I want about 250. And I think I shall sell my car. Do you know anybody here who wants a two-seater? It's a Mercia, last year's.
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I've got to go into Cheltenham to see Mr. Truby tomorrow. Will you take me? In your car?
Rather.
Oh! Going to that office is like walking into a Dickens novel.
How ghastly for you.
Well, it wasn't all that ghastly, as a matter of fact. Mr. Truby said he managed to let the hall, and I shall be much better off than he expected, and mustn't worry about money.
Splendid.
Yes. Hillary, would you mind pulling up?
Why? What's wrong?
Do you think I might try to drive now? I have a license because I've tried before when the vicar's daughter had a car.
Right you are. This thing practically drives itself.
Why do you want to bother there?
Because if I can drive it, I'll buy it from you, Hillary. That is, if you really want to sell it.
You will? Are you sure?
Yes. So long as I can drive it.
Of course you can. Let me show you where everything is. It really is a good little car, you know.
Hello, Vicar. Would you like a lift?
Elizabeth! What's this? What's this?
Come in and see. I bought it from my nephew, and I've just put him on the train to town. Isn't it exciting? I feel like going away in it at once.
By yourself?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. No, of course. Why not? You could have a tour, visiting all our English cathedrals. Oh, you may not be very interested in ecclesiastic architecture.
I don't think I am, you know.
But think what a wonderful picture of England you would have. Canterbury, Ely, Norwich, Lincoln, York, Hereford, Gloucester, Wells, Salisbury, oh, wonderful!
It does sound rather exciting when you think of it like that.
Oh, doesn't it? Oh, really? That's the place to begin at. I'll let you have my old bath.
Wonderful. I'll start tomorrow morning.
I shouldn't. It's Sunday. I'm no Sabbatarian, but Sunday's a bad day to begin a journey. Start on Monday. There never was a Monday morning yet when I didn't want to be going somewhere.
And so, it was on Monday morning that I set out. The same Monday which was Inigo's fateful birthday.
Aye, and that were Monday when I were coming down Great North Road from Brothersford.
Yes, and Mr. O'Crod and I met up on the road just outside Rawsley.
Hang on. Ely is a long way from Rawsley and the Great North Road.
Ah, but after Ely, I decided to go to Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Well, Liverpool has a very fine cathedral, so I'm told.
Aye, and Brothersford has a town hall with a clock that plays Tom Bowling and the Last of Richmond Hill. That's right, grand is yon.
Brothersford's where you came from then, Mr. O'Crod?
Jess, short for Jessiah. My father were a primitive Methodist when he weren't in pubs. Aye, Brothersford, born and bred, that's me.
So, what made you leave?
Well, yon were a bad weekend from start to finish. Saturday afternoon, I went to a football match and it were rotten. No score. Oh, and then things were badly like at home and I got to thinking how I'd give out to see a bit of world before I got too old and daft. I wanted to have a look at Bristol, them places, Bedfordshire, and Canada.
Canada?
Aye, I have a lass of mine, dear. Me daughter, Lily. Aye, she's a grand lass and all. Married Jack Clough and off they went to Canada. Well, I was thinking things over, you know, out walking late Sunday when I fell over yon drunken fella lying in the road and gave him a look like.
Good dad, Jess.
Then I saw as he'd dropped his note case, stuffed with money and all. He'd been to races, see? But there must have been hundreds of pounds in it. Well, I picked it up for him, and he had such a load on, he started shoving notes in my hand. Well, I said as how I didn't want his money, couldn't take it like. And he got nasty. Drunk, you see. Said I was following him. Then the policeman turned up asking questions like so. I made myself scared.
You're a wise man.
Well, I got myself home as fast as I could go. Nobody was up, so I took a look at the money he gave me. £4 5-pound notes.
So you decided you had enough funds to go travelling?
Nay, lad, no such thing.
You don't know Jeff, Mr. Priestley, or you wouldn't even suggest it. He'd have found a way of returning the money if he could. Wouldn't you, Jeff, lad?
I would that, but I'd no chance. Next day, Monday, I was stopped. sacked, paid off. Oh, because of some union nonsense. Mm-hmm. Missus took on so much terrible.
Oh! You've been what? Well, that settles it.
What settles what?
We still have to have a lodger.
Albert's looking for fresh digs.
Albert Tuggeridge, that lady killer.
He's making good money, Carl. Got a rise last week.
Nay, Lennon, they won't wash. We don't want no lodgers here.
Oh, we don't we? Well, some of us thinks we do. And if Albert wants to come here, he can do.
Oh, and who says so?
I say so.
And so do I.
Well, I'll tell you this. If Albert comes here, I go.
And I did. I don't know what came over me. I left him my week's wages, but I took the £20 and I took me tools and all. And I went. Tore up me insurance card and all, which were a daft thing to do.
So what happened next?
I were robbed. That's what happened. Mind you, it were my own fault. You see, I knew as a friend of mine, Ted was driving his lorry down south to Nuneaton that night, and he'd said I could have a lift any time I liked. But in thorough of leaving, like, I mistook lorry and ended up with two of the biggest villains you ever saw. We got on Great North Road and landed up in this pub in the middle of nowhere, where we had some food and tea with rum in it. Oh, that was grand. Well, we all went to sleep. I know I did. And when I woke up, the chaps had gone, and I found I'd been robbed. Well, I'd nowt. No money, no insurance card, and no idea where I were. All I had was me tools. But I went on walking south, and sometime in the afternoon, I saw a motor van. By, were a queer van, yon. Something between a proper van and a caravan. And run down.
Nice day, George.
Aye, nice enough. Herbert?
Here now, I ask you, do I look like a Herbert?
Nay, I don't know. But I'll tell you what you don't look like.
Go on in, George. I'll buy it.
You don't look like a chap that knows how to use a saw.
Oh. Do you know all about saws, George?
You tell me what you're trying to do, mate, and I'll soon show you what I know about saws. I'm a joiner and carpenter by trade, and yon's me tools to prove it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something now. You don't come from around here. You come from Leeds.
Nay, I don't. I come from Brothersford.
Near enough. Brothersford, eh? No Lane End Fair.
Tide, you mean? Lane End Tide. Of course I know it.
Well, so do I. I've been here many a time. What are you doing around here? Looking for a job?
Aye, I'm looking for a job. I've been landed properly, I have.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's hear all about it, then.
So, we sat down on the steps of his van and I told him the whole story about the drunk and the fivers and the villains who'd stolen them. A lot of folk wouldn't have believed me, but he did.
Easy come, easy go there. You didn't happen to hear the names of those fellas with the lorry?
One was called Nobby Clark, I think.
Yeah.
A big, fat fellow with a big, round, bilberry face on him, the size of two.
I believe I know that fellow. If I saw him, I should know him in a minute. I never forget a dial.
And so you're one of these as goes with tides, fair's lad.
Yeah, that's me. My name's Jackson. What's yours?
Oakroyd, Jess Oakroyd.
Ah, good enough. Well, they call me Joby. Everybody in this line of business knows me.
Yeah. And you go round in this van?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, take a deco out there. Not exactly a ruddy Rolls Royce. Can't get more than 20 mile an hour out of a set-down steep hill, but it's enough. I got a little stove in there, a couple of bunk beds, carry all my stock, stall and all. Yeah, I was trying to patch up the old stall. Got a nasty knock yesterday. I'd like to see what you could do with it. I'm no good in the hands. I can sell anything, do the patter, but I can't use me hands. Funny, isn't it?
You leave it to me, mate. You got any knocks and bolts, 3-inch nails? I'll set you up in no time.
Oh, yeah, plenty. How about a drop of Rosie Lee?
Champion! Now then.
You from the tarts, Jess?
No, just have tea.
Not the sort you eat, Jess.
Oh. No, I'm not bothered.
You wouldn't be having to mend that stall if it hadn't been for a tart. See, I've had a pal with me lately, Tommy Muster, called him. Well, Tommy can't keep away from the women, you see. Oh, hang on, the rosy be ready now.
Grand.
Well, yesterday, we're at a little place called Broadley, where there's a bit of a fair. Oh, here's your rosy, Jess.
Oh, Tommy. Mm.
And it's tarts there, you see. Black, flashing sort of bitch she is. She had been going round with his fella Jim Summers, only she gave him the go-by, see, and took up with Tommy. So this Summers, He comes looking for him.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So Tommy says I'm off with his tart mate for a day or two. Join you later on, Joby.
Yeah, well, I'll get on with job now.
Yeah, yeah, right, Rogers. So, just after Tommy'd gone, up comes this Jim Summers, 14 stone easy, being a boozer, and he was nasty, very nasty.
Oh.
Here he says, giving the old stall a bang or two. Where's that um-pum-pum, bloody um-pum-pum little pellials? And he starts kicking in the old shooting match. Lucky a Bobby come round before he done any worse damage. How's repairs going, Jim?
Right, you check hold of that, then.
Yeah.
See how she stands. Sit down steady, mate. Steady. How the...
Oh, not half bad. Which is better than ever.
Yeah.
Let's pack her up. Go and have a can or two. I passed the boozer about 2 miles back.
Well, I could do with one, but I have not. I'd better be thinking what to do with me, son.
Oh, that's all right. You're with me, see? Yeah. Why not stay till Tommy comes rolling home again? Might be a day, might be a week. I'm going to a little place called Ribston tomorrow, what do you say?
Well, I don't know. I don't want no, what's it, charity.
Charity? Nothing. I want you to give me an hand, see? Besides, you've done me one good turn already. Can't I do you one?
So I spent Tuesday night in Joby Jackson's old van. Bye. It was quiet in country.
And I spent Tuesday night in Market Harborough. On Wednesday, I pushed on through Leicester and Derby before I stopped for lunch at an hotel at a crossroads. There was a car, exactly like mine, parked in front of the hotel. The same blue and everything. There were only two other people having lunch. The woman was about my age, large and blonde and in very high spirits, but nervous. She was talking in a curious, mincing accent, apparently assumed for the occasion.
That must be all right.
The man with her seemed nervous too, but not in high spirits. In fact, he reminded me of a rabbit. Then some more customers came in and the waitress went to attend to them.
This coat's an awful nuisance, Eric. I'll put it in the car. It won't be long, dear.
Hurry, dear.
Sorry, sir, I'd better answer that. Hello? Yes, it is, that's right. How should I know? Like what?
I put it on the front seat, dear.
Good.
Well, I don't know. I dare say it might be. I'll ask if you give me the name. All right, hold on a minute. I beg your pardon, but are you Mr. Tipster? Mr. Eric Tipster?
Me?
No, no. It isn't,
sir. But no, certainly not.
Johnson's the name, Miss Johnson. Right. No, not the name. Well, I can't talk that, can I? Goodbye. Some people...
After this, the odd couple raced through the rest of their meal and hurried out. I was sure the man had been Eric Tipstead, but I didn't like to question the waitress, so I paid and went out to the car. But the car wasn't there.
You lost something, miss?
Yes, my car.
Oh, blue two-seater, was it?
Yes.
Oh. It's round the corner, here.
Oh.
Had to shift it about half an hour ago. It's just round here. There you are.
Oh, yes. Thank goodness, thank you. Oh, no.
It's all right, miss.
All wrong. This isn't my car. It's like it, but it isn't it. Well, I remember now. This car was in front of mine when I went into lunch. I noticed that it seemed extraordinarily like mine.
Oh, goodness.
What's the matter?
They took it.
What?
Well, just after I had to move this, a couple comes dashing out, gets in, goes off without a word.
The Tipsteads. But what on earth am I to do?
I should take theirs if I was you.
But theirs, they've got all my things. Which way did they go?
They took the north road.
I wonder if I could overtake them. I suppose I could drive this one if it's just like mine.
Where is he? Where is he, you
You big vampire!
What on earth are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't air, Willie.
Ah, then.
Here. This is our car, isn't it, Willie?
Yes, I'm dead certain it is.
Oh, he's sold it. She's making steady.
We'll see about that.
I can assure you this car belongs to some people who have just gone off in my car.
That's right. You see, a party comes out. Yeah. Gets in this lady's car, goes off without a word.
What sort of party?
Littleish fella with eyeglasses.
Eric, I knew it. What to tell you, Willie?
Sounds like him, all right.
A biggish woman, fair-haired, his wife was.
His wife?
Hold on, Dick, hold on.
Look, there's his bag in the car and... Oh, look, Willie, that's his.
Yes, oh. Well, what are you going to do then, Tis? Oh, to get back, you know.
Look, the point is, do you happen to know where they're going? The very moment you came, I was just setting out to try and overtake them.
Well, I took the north road. I told the lady.
And we are only wasting time, you know.
Yes, I do know where they're going. At least I've a good idea. She's got a house in Sheffield and they're going there. I got the address from a letter she sent me.
Can you drive this car?
No, I can't.
Well, you must come with me. That's the only thing to do. We should get to Sheffield before dark.
And did you?
Oh, yes. The woman was the real Mrs. Tipstead, of course. Mm.
And the other woman was my sister Effie. She's a heart of gold, really.
It was quite a relief, I can tell you, when we got to the address in Sheffield, and there was my car standing in the street. Mrs. Tipstead insisted on getting out at the corner while I drove up to the house.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening. Is Mr. Tipstead here, please? He took my car by mistake.
Harris's chap, you mean? Oh, I've heard about that car. Didn't know his name was Tipstead. Oh. Eric, she calls him. Eric, or little by little, I said. Oh, and he didn't like it neither. Come in.
Thank you. Uncle Arthur.
Half a minute. You'll soon know. This way. Here we all are.
Ooh.
Now then, Eric, this lady.
You probably remember me. I was lunching at the table next to you. You went off in my car.
Oh, yes, you see.
We were halfway here before we realised we got the wrong car. Yes. And we found your name and address on the bags. And we were going to ride,
right.
Didn't we, Eric?
Right.
Tell you how it had... happened, and we sent a telegram to the hotel to ask about his car.
Your car's outside. Oh. I came up here in it.
Oh, well, thank God. Well, we can just change over now, then, can't we? Now, I'm sure you must be tired, Miss Tran. Do sit yourself down.
Just a minute.
Oh, hello. What's the matter with you, Eric?
Oh.
I know. He thought of something deep down in his little head all by himself. And you tell us if we all keep quiet a minute. Oh, hello, Uncle Arthur. Go and see who that is.
It's somebody come to put the rented rates up because he's seen two cars standing at the door.
How do you come to be here, Miss Trent? This address wasn't on any of our bags, was it?
I've no idea. I never looked at the bags.
Well, I never did. I never thought of that.
Half a minute.
What's the matter? Who is it?
Where is it?
It's
Well, Eric, I'll follow you, you see.
Here, who told you to come in here? What do you want?
That's what I want, my husband.
Oh, my God. I'm off.
Now then, Eric, I'm not going to argue with you. Just make up your mind whether you'll stay here with this woman or go back to the shop with me. And it's the last time, mind.
Oh, Eric, no, you wouldn't. Not after all you've said.
You'll be quiet. Let him make his own mind up. Well? Oh, for goodness sake, Mr. Tipstead, say something or do something. Don't just stand there like that. It's absolutely vile. Oh, well. There. He's going home. I'll just take his hat. Goodbye, Miss Trent. And thanks.
He's gone. I've lost him.
I've lost him.
on. There, look. You're well rid of him. He went out but 2 pence at a copper. Temperament, that's what it is, Miss Grant. Runs in the family. I'm a bit that way myself. But I'll have to be off. I'm playing at the theatre this week. Trombone. Why don't you stop and keep Effie company? You're not busy, are you?
Well, I...
Oh, nobody wants me. Nobody.
Oh, of course they do, lass. Miss Dent will stop and look after you a bit. I'm off then. Be good.
I do wish you'd stay a bit. If I'm by myself tonight, I'll forget the Jim Jams. I know I shall. If Uncle Arthur hadn't been working, he'd have stayed with me. This is really his house, you know. He lets rooms to theatricals. I can see you've noticed the photographs. Well, my family has always been concerned with the profession. And my sister Elsie is doing concert party work with a troupe called the Dinky Doos.
Really?
How about a cup of tea and something to eat?
Oh, well, it's awfully kind of you, Miss...
Longstaff. Effie Longstaff.
Miss Longstaff. I'm surprised you don't wish me far enough away. After all, if it weren't for me...
Oh, Eric could still be in, you mean? Well, Oh, hello. Front door again. I'm getting nervous.
Telegram.
Oh, thank you. Uncle Arthur.
What's he doing with telegrams?
I'm going to open it too. Oh, it's all in the family.
Yeah, listen to this. Show bust, all stranded, send other basket, passenger train, also £3, anything. Where's Effie Elsie? Well, what do you think of that?
I don't think anything of it because I don't understand it.
She doesn't know I'm here, you see. Elsie, my sister. Rosemary, this is from near Litchfield. I knew you at Rosemary all last week.
But what does it mean?
Well, don't you see the Dinky Doo suddenly busted? I told you she was with the Dinky Doos, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
And they're all stranded. And now she wants her other basket sending on and a pound or two to get her out of the place. Some mangy old mouse probably claimed a basket till she gets paid for her rooms. Now, if Uncle Arthur's got a spare quid or two, I'll post it off first thing tomorrow.
Oh, you've got her address, of course.
Well, if that isn't just like her. She sends a long, splattering telegram and never puts her address in it.
Well, can't you send it to the theatre?
Well, there isn't one. Rose is one of those old where you do 3 nights at the corn exchange. Oh, I don't know what to do. What I call a mess. Are you sure you won't have a cup of tea?
No, really, I had tea, you know, some time ago. Look here, Miss Longstaff. Won't you come out to an hotel and have dinner with me? I must find somewhere to stay tonight anyway.
Oh, I'd love that. Very nice of you, I'm sure.
And so we found a suitable hotel, and over dinner, Effie told me more about her experience of theatrical life.
Yes, she was on the stage for a time, but it was bad for her nerves.
Well, somehow or other to me, it all seemed more interesting than going to Liverpool to look at the cathedral.
All right.
So I offered to take Elsie's other basket and the money back to Rosalie.
And thank goodness you did, Miss Temple.
So I set off from Sheffield the next morning, Thursday. And that's how I happened to be on the road, a few miles from Rosalie in the afternoon when I met Mr. Oakroyd.
Oh.
You see...
Yeah, but just a minute. I want to know how Mr. Oakroyd got there. When we last heard, he was about to set off to Ribston for the fair, and it was Wednesday morning.
Right.
Oh, aye. We were up and away very early. Joby wanted a good pitch, and he got one, right opposite a boozer. Why, it were a champion, dude. Joby had these rubber dolls that you blew up like balloons.
Ground, made of the finest rubber on the market today. They are all the very best.
Oh, I don't think
that's accurate. Would you like to take over for a quick guest? Yes, sir. I'll bring us a couple of pies.
Well, I don't run
in the pattern and you'll be fine.
Oh, well. Pick where you like, missus. They're all very best. Now then, mate, like a doll.
Do I look as if I wanted a bloody doll? Do I now? Do I?
Where's that flaming little swine, Joby Jackson?
Eh?
Where is he? You here? Oh, what's the matter with you? Lost your voice, have you?
Aye, he was an ugly customer, all right. I knew this must be yon chap Summers as a broken up stall.
I said, where's Joby Jackson?
He's not here.
Can't I see he's not here? I'm asking where he is. This is his stall, isn't it?
Aye. But you see, I bought it up on him.
Oh, since when?
Yesterday. You won't find him here, mate.
Hey. Well, he's been seen here this morning. You bought this?
Yeah.
You're that a liar, rotten little liar.
Get off! Hey. Oh, I never thought I'd be glad to see a policeman.
What's it all about,
dear? Yeah. I come here asking for a fella. Mm. And this fella here says he don't know where the fella is. He says that this stall here... He did. And I was telling him it wasn't, because I knew it belonged to this other fella. You see?
Well, I don't see why you've got to make such a lot of noise about. Either it's this or it isn't, one way or the other. It doesn't seem much of your business.
No, that's right.
You know, but it's my business, all right. If you ask me, there's something a bit queer here. Now, you say that your outfit belongs to you?
Aye, in a manner of speaking.
But what do you mean, in a manner of speaking? Let's have a look at your license.
He's got no license!
Who's talking to you? Let's have a look at your license.
I said, he's got no license.
And I say, who's talking to you? Get back a bit.
Who the bloody hell do you think you are? Push me again, you ginger. Pick it out.
I don't have a word and you come along with me.
Come on, get the other fellow with me.
You moth!
Get out!
There's no need for that.
And then there were a fight. By go, I can feel some on it yet. Well, after police had taken yon chap Summers away, Joby thought as we should make our sense scarce.
Yeah, didn't take any names, did he?
He didn't take mine.
Oh, good. If they want us for the witness box, they must find us, see? What do you say, Tommy?
And that were another thing. Joby's pal had come back, so there were no more need of me.
Well, Jess, I'd like to keep you on the job a bit longer, but you see how it is. And this ought to straighten us up a bit.
Yeah, I've done now to earn this.
You're the first West Riding fella I ever knew to look sideways at a bit of brass. Now then, Jess, it's only a quid. Put it in your pocket.
Well, it's very good of you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. You're the best Yorkshire lad I've met for a long time. I don't get on with him as a rule, see?
Aye, we check a bit annoying.
Nah, but you're all right, you are. And any time you want to find me, just drop me a line to our newspaper. The World's Fair, see? Joby Jackson, care of the World's Fair.
All right, Joby, lad, I will. Where does this here road go to?
Yeah, well, down a bit round to the left, about 6 miles. You come to a place called Rawsley. Well, so long, Jess. And all the best.
Yeah, but I did see some at Young Week. I had a bit of fun on my travels if I never seen that no more. Aye, well, first thing I saw were Miss Tramp's car broken down on road to Rosalind.
And it started raining. So we put the hood up and sat in the car and told each other our adventure. And when the rain stopped, Mr. Oakroyd got the car going and I gave him a lift into Rosalind.
A sheer hole if ever I saw one.
I had no idea where to find the dinky-doos, of course. But just on the outskirts of the town was the railway station, and opposite was a corrugated iron hut, labelled... with a poster on the wall, advertising the dinky-doos.
And that's when Mrs. Mounder came out at door.
Excuse me. Mrs. Mounder?
Yes?
Can you tell me if these people... the dinky-doos are still in the town?
Yes, indeed, they are. They're in here.
What?
Came an hour ago, 6 of them, and ordered 1 pot of tea and 1 plate of bread and butter. And they've asked for 2 lots of hot water already, and some of them's eating what they brought themselves. Sitting there, jabbering away and ordering me about. I'll get no more hot water, I can tell you.
Oh, what a shame.
You might well call it that, miss. If everybody went on like that, I couldn't keep a door open.
No, I was thinking about them.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have some tea, too. And so will Mr. Oakroyd.
Oh,
and here are some more customers, Mrs. Mounder.
Good afternoon, madam. Have you the dinky-doos?
I think we've tracked them down. Lead on, Jonathan.
Right you are.
Good. They look like theatricals, too.
Come along, Mr. Oakroyd. This is quite exciting.
So that's how you all met.
Yes, that's right.
But, Miss Trent, what persuaded you to invest money in the show? And what about the name? The Good Companions. Where did that come from?
Let Mrs. Trant tell it. Well, I think it was Mrs. Munder who persuaded me.
Yes,
really. I found Effie's sister to give her the basket and the money from Sheffield, and she was telling me all about the Dinky-Doos.
And Jerry Jerningham over there. Look, the handsome one. He talks a bit affected. He doesn't like people to know he comes from Birmingham. But he's a lovely dancer. He sings too. Oh, and Susie Dean, she's our comedian. When she sings at three. Oh, honestly, Mr. Trant, it was one of the best little shows on the road.
It really was good, was it?
Yes. Yeah. We'll show you. I saw that fella come in with a banjo. Excuse me, mister.
Morton Mitchum, madam. Yours to the man.
Can you play Jog Along, Jasper?
Indubitably, madam.
Oh, come on, everybody. Let's give Miss Trant a taste of our quality. And...
Ma.
One and fourpence, and one and eightpence, and two shillings, and you can pay me now at once and take yourself somewhere else, sitting about and making your commotion. I never did. You too, miss. I thought you was a lady, but seemingly you're another of them.
Oh. What?
You heard what I said.
What did you say we owed you? One moment, please, everybody. Now then, Mrs. Munder.
There's one and fourpence, and one and eightpence, and two shillings altogether, Owen. Though, what was the amount of our water that's been called?
There's 10 shillings.
Oh.
And please bring me the change at once. Let's go now, shall we?
Splendid, absolutely. I've been wishing I could do it, but I haven't the style, you know.
Well, that's what did it. That horrid woman decided me that I was going to run this troupe. And that Mr. Jolliffant would take over as pianist, and Mr. Oakroyd would stay on as our handyman.
Stage carpenter, props and banishman, lights, doorman where needed, bill poster where needed, and any other odd jobs.
Aye, it fair beats Bun does this.
And the name?
Oh, that was Inigo. He wrote the song, of course. Tell Mr. Priestley what you said that night.
Well, they kept talking about people being good troopers. And I wasn't very sure what a good trooper was, except that he or she is presumably one who, troops. But I thought that if it meant being or trying to be a good companion, then I was proud to be one, absolutely, because somehow there isn't too much good companionship left, is there?
The train may well be late. We're forced to wait in the rain and snow and slush. The digs may well be cold. The theatre old tarnished gilt and faded flush. Well rehearsed and starry eyed, take our circle to call, and we'll all say good companions, good companions, good companions, are the friends we love the most.
an empty stage, the band has packed and gone. The make-believe and magic cease to be. And as the limelight dies, a gleam comes to my eyes, because I know the real world calling me to go. Slipping around the corner to the rose crown, slipping around the corner when the show comes down, I'm gonna see my little lady for no more. And when I hear that last applause, the stage door beckons me, because I know I'm slipping around, slipping around, slipping around the corner to meet the one I adore.
Miss Trent, can't you feel the difference? No chair tonight.
No, Mr. Priest's article really seems to have done the trick. Oh, isn't it splendid?
Ah, it's a bit of a change.
Oh, yes, Mother, is that all you can say?
Yeah, right, glad it's champion.
Oh, and isn't Jerry singing well tonight? Oh,
brilliantly. Mind you, that's a little duck of a number.
Oh, yes, Inigo, such a clever boy. Didn't I hear he was writing something for you, Susie?
So he says.
Oh, what a lovely!
Oh, it's wonderful!
Oh,
what's happening now?
Oh, heaven!
Well, I do declare.
There's an enormous bouquet of roses being handed out.
Oh, Jerry! It's for Jerry Jerningham. Well.
From an unknown admirer, apparently, Jimmy got a quick look at the card. Said it was a woman's writing.
Oh, how disgusting. He'll be even more full of himself now.
Still, what a night. Oh, well. Train call tomorrow.
Littlefield Junction, boys and girls. We've just 20 minutes between trains. Now, everybody got their things?
Yes. Oh. Well, I'll be damned.
Jimmy!
Oh, what's the matter? Are you ill?
He is ill. Look at the colour of him.
No, it's nothing. Just a bit of an attack, that's all. I'm all right, I'm all right.
What about a drink in the refreshment room?
Oh, yeah. No. I'll go straight to the next train. Sit quiet a bit.
Hello, Jimmy.
Oh, here we go.
Bags are all seen too.
Oh, good.
How are you feeling?
Oh, not so bad now, Charles, not so bad.
Where's Susie?
I packed her off to get a cup of tea. Is Mitchum trying for a quick one?
He is. I'm not going to bother. I don't like these lightning drinks. Here they come now.
How are you, Charles?
All right, Charles. Where's Susie?
I think she went to the
ladies' room.
Oh, there she is.
What? Hey, what's your name? Guard, half a minute.
Stay
stop. The silly devils are off. She's missing.
She's through her mind.
Get back to me. Well, the very first thing is to find out when the next train goes to Cuba.
Yes, I thought of that myself. This platform is rather drafty.
Your overcoat's on the train, of course.
Absolutely. I beg your pardon, madam?
Changing trains here?
Yes.
and losing them.
Maybe you're theatrical.
Yes, we are.
You don't happen to be travelling with a Mr. Nunn?
What, Jimmy Nunn? I should think we are. We're all in the same show. The Good Companions. Do you know Jimmy?
P.R.L. Troop, is it? Where are you going to now?
A place called Tubra.
Not far from here.
That's right. We're playing at the Theatre Royal.
Not much good will come of that.
Can we give Jimmy a message?
James Nunn will want no message from me. I'm his wife. Good afternoon.
Well, of all the dried-up, phony, beastly women.
Jimmy saw her on the platform. That's why he went so queer.
Oh, no wonder. But isn't it strange? I never knew he had a wife. Oh, really? Let's find a timetable, quick. And then a decent, warm hotel to wait in. If this place possesses such a thing. Oh, that's better. I wonder how Miss Trunk and our Jess are getting on. I do think Miss Trunk's an angel, don't you? And so pretty. You'd think someone would have snapped her up. As a matter of fact, I asked her why she wasn't married.
Susie?
No, listen. She's been quietly in love with a Scotch doctor for ages and ages. They met 12 years ago on a boat when Miss Trunk and her father were coming back from Malta, and he was the ship's doctor.
Who? Her father?
No, he was a colonel.
Oh.
And she wasn't very well. So this Scotch doctor came to examine her. And they fell in love. At least Miss Trump did. And then the voyage ended, and they never saw each other again. Isn't it romantic?
Susie, I've made a tremendous discovery. I adore you.
But how nice.
No. It's much more serious than that. I'm in love with you. Absolutely. Frantically. It's marvelous. It's terrible.
Don't be absurd, Inigo. Have some shortcake. And look out. There's a woman who's been staring at us ever since we came in. And she's coming this way.
Not another Mrs. Nunn, surely.
No. More like a cockatoo.
Now I know I'm intruding.
Not at all. Rather. Absolutely.
Won't you sit down, then? Inigo, mind the hot water.
Oh.
I'm Lady Partridge. Yeah, I thought I knew you. You're in a concert party called The Good Companions, aren't you? I saw you at Sandy Bay.
Yes. Yeah, well, we were there.
Oh, yeah, I saw you three times. So good, I thought you were. Oh. Such a change.
I'm glad. I mean, stop it, Inigo. You are a fool. You must think we're awfully rude to depart.
Oh, not in the least. And where are you off to now?
Tubra.
Dear. I haven't loved so much this long time. Now, you mustn't think it's strange, my talking to you like this, because I'm almost in the business myself, in a manner of speaking. My late husband left me a controlling interest in two West End theatres.
You're the fairy queen, the person we dream about every night. Two West End theatres? Not musical comedy or revue, by any chance.
As a rule, yes.
I can hardly believe you're real. And if Jerry Jerningham were here, he'd want to kidnap you.
Oh.
You remember him, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. I thought he was wonderful.
He is. Isn't he, Inigo?
Absolutely. Jerningham himself may be a terrible...
a terribly good dancer.
Exactly.
And so marvellously good-looking, of course.
Oh, yes. Isn't he married?
Who on earth?
Oh, no. He thinks about nothing but his work. And he's frightfully ambitious. Like me. We mustn't forget our train, Inigo.
Oh, my dears. Do let my chauffeur take you over to Tubra. Then we can have a cocktail together before you go.
Well, I don't...
Yes, thank you very much, Lady Partridge.
Good. I'll just make sure that Lawley knows what to do.
Who's Lawley?
The chauffeur, I expect.
This is the life.
I think the old girl's a bit mad.
Idiot. Don't you see? She's the person who sent Jerry that bouquet at Sandy Bay. She adores him.
Gosh.
I hope you haven't gone and caught cold.
Early closing day, so maybe we'll have something like an audience tonight.
Yes.
But if it isn't one thing, it'll be t'other.
What do you mean by that, by stage, brother's audience?
Bother with troupe. There's bound to be a bit of a bust-up soon, mark my word. None of you well, and there's old Jimmy looking fit to drop right poorly. And I saw young Morton Mitchum coming out of a pub, and I could see it had a few.
Well, it's not a crime.
And he'd gotten a bottle of whiskey with him. Just you keep an eye on him tonight. If he isn't 3 sheets in the wind by now, call me a liar, lad.
Just a moment. Let go of me.
No, no, man, you're not in the pitch state. Come on now, down to the dressing room.
That's the act, Joe. Good evening, Miss
Trey. It's a good house tonight. Please go home at once. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
No. I'm going now.
Come on, old man, you just get yourself going.
Oh, clever.
But, if I'm not wanted...
It's too bad, Joe.
I'm sorry, Bill.
But Joggers and Jimmy's collapsed.
What?
I've got him on stage until there's a carry on with Shaw. We have to get him down to the dressing room.
No need for a doctor. Carry on, Shaw. I'll be all right as rain in a minute.
Just a minute, Mrs. You can't go in there.
Carry. That's right, James. How are you?
Not so bad, Carrie.
You're a sick man, James. You're not fit to be sitting here with that silly paint on your face.
We've been trying to persuade Mr. Nunn to see a doctor, but he...
I'm Mrs. Nunn. I saw two of your troop on Hicklefield Station, and they told me you were coming here. You saw me that day, James.
Yes, I did.
I see. I know he hasn't been well all the week.
And never likely to be. Nothing proper to eat, wet clothes and dirty lodgings. Well, he's coming with me now.
Oh.
I'm going to look after him. It's lucky I happen to be here. I've got a shop about 12 miles away. Well, that's why I came today, half day closing.
Yes, I see, but...
Come along, James. Your troop's not got enough go in it, miss. Not half enough go. You want to keep them up to the mark better.
Miss Ransdell, I am here to make what apology I can for last night.
All right, Mr. Mitchum. I'm sure it won't happen again.
It will not happen again, Miss Ransdell. It's this wretched place. It's downed me.
Yes.
In Tuber this week, I touched rock bottom.
So have I. And we're in an awful muddle now since poor Jimmy's been rushed off by his wife.
Miss Trent, you can count on Morton Mitchum. I'll give half the show, if you like.
Oh, well, let's hope it won't come to that.
Miss Trent, young Jerry Jerningham, he's gone missing.
What?
Aye. Inigo went round to his lodgings before show to give him some new music, and he weren't there. A car come this morning, landlady says, and he went off in it. He didn't take any bags, but it wouldn't cap me if he hadn't taken his upright luggage. Just giving us go-by.
Oh, no.
I think you'll agree that we've got to decide what's to be done. To begin with, is it worth giving a performance at all tonight?
No, it isn't. They'll all be throwing things.
Preposterous. There are six of us out there. Mm-hmm. I've known a whole drama and vaudeville show to be done with less than six. Mm-hmm. I might...
Oh, yes, we know. Out there in Timbuktu, way back in 83, you work miracles. We know.
You know nothing. Ignorance. That's your trouble, Miss Longstone.
Oh, you go and boil your head.
And don't let us be set to dame calling and a daisy dart of rudenesses.
What do you think, Mr. Jonathan?
Well, it's all the same to me. Might as well. It's practice for us, and it might help bring your wasp out of it, Mr. Chad. On the other hand, if you say, let's pack up and go on to the next place over the hills and far away, I'm your man. Absolutely.
Yes, but now I come to another thing. Is it worth going on to the next place? Is it worth going on at all? That's what I'm asking myself.
I knew it! I knew it!
Please, please, don't misunderstand. It's not money I'm thinking about. Though it is rather dreadful continually losing money. It's something else. I can't get away from the feeling that the party as a whole has let me down this week.
You can't blame us because Jimmy had a heart attack or whatever it is. And I saw some people getting drunk.
Yes, 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 that couldn't be helped. But other things could. Quarrelling. Not bothering about the show. Leaving the rest of us in the lurch. You must know what I mean.
I suppose Jerry has gone.
Oh, yes, we've seen the last of that bright boy.
Well, there you are. What attracted me, I think, more than anything when I first met you was the way that you were all so loyal and kept so cheerful and friendly under the most horrible conditions. And now? Well, I'm afraid I don't see it like that anymore.
I suppose I can't blame you, Miss Trent, but... Oh, you don't know how sorry I am.
No, love, take it easy. Take it easy. Now then, everybody... I say, stick it. Don't give up, Miss Trant. Have another do at it. Now, fair ain't the thought of a thing coming to now before it's got started.
I'm with you there. Absolutely, Master.
It's not but a matter of turning a corner. It's always the same with everything. Stick it. Get round corner and you're there. This here's down, all right. Well, what of it? Mark my words, if we're not up right at top of tree almost before you can say Jack Robinson, Neil, I'll eat this chap.
Darling! Miss Dean, of course, I'm sorry to come like this, but is he here?
I don't understand.
Who? Is it Jerry Channing?
Yes, of course.
Oh, it's all been a mistake. I assure you, I can explain everything, but he's gone.
He's certainly not here. No.
He's been nothing since then. Yes, I know that. That I can explain. You see, there you are.
Oh, why?
But it's all been a mistake.
I don't want to hear anything. That man took away my trousers.
Surely to rush
him. He took them away. You tell him to. Then he laughed at me. Look what I had to put on. I had to borrow them from the gardener. Go away at once. I never want to set eyes on you again.
Come along, Lady Tartlett. I think it'd be best if you went away now. The less sweet of you, my dear. Oh, you will say as little as you can, won't you?
Well, of course.
I'm an old friend. Lives about 20 miles away. And I came specially to see you all on Thursday. And then I sent the car round to Mr. Jerningham on Friday morning for lunch, you see. And then there was that difficulty with the car on Friday afternoon.
Yes, I see.
And I do assure you it was all a misunderstanding about the trousers. Mr. Jerningham wasn't expecting to see the dinner, you see. So naturally I asked the valet to give them a present.
Of course. Goodbye, Lady Bartlett. Well, well. I think I'd better have a quiet word with Master Jernigan. Of course, Mr. Jernigan's return does make some difference, still.
Now then, what about this?
Well, boys and girls! Now, there's a doctor in Merley where I've been who's a marvel, a wonder, a mortal. He talked and tapped and tapped and talked and gave me some medicine to take. And then it was my turn. Have I to stop here and do no work, I asked him, because if so, I shall be dead anyway. He understood all right. Do him no harm to get back to work, he said. May do him good. The lapse of the opposition. So here I am, fit for anything,
so long as I take one dose before meals and one after.
We were only talking just now, Jimmy, about whether we could give a show at all tonight.
Give a show tonight? Mm. I should think we do. Tonight, 125 members of the Merlion District Cooperative Society are coming to Tubra, and for what? To see the Good Companions at the theatre tomorrow, where they will occupy the dress circle on special terms. Given to him by Mr. Knott. Joy and what's his name, the unconfined. Now, what do you say, Miss Trant? Do the Good Companions go on?
They do.
Three cheers for Miss Trant. Hip hip. Hip hip. Hip hip.
I'm going to read a cinema company. Can I help you?
I'll just say.
It's just a fat out here.
No, they are.
I'm afraid Mr. Rickford is in a merry think, Mr. Farrow. I'll tell him. Good morning. He wants to make things as soon as possible.
Oh, for God's sake, I thought shut that window. It's cold.
It was you who wanted it out.
Well, I want it shut now.
All right.
These returns from the stored cinema are worse than I thought. Those blindy little pierrots are looking hell out of the cinema returns. They're in Monday this week, aren't they?
The Good Companions, yes, they're crowded out every night.
Oh, now they are. People must have gone balmy.
Well, if you don't wait, I'll tell you.
A bit of sense, though. Farrer and his syndicate are making me an offer for my three cinemas based on 2 months' return from said cinemas. The price is according, or if they don't like the look of the returns, they'll buy elsewhere. And I ask you, who would have thought a piebald, bread-and-driven little Piero show would have knocked them all silly like that?
I went out to Monday last night to see them. Packed out they were. It's a clever show, all right. Tricky songs, too.
You're sillier than I thought. Here, where's this woman staying? The one who's running them?
They're all here in Gatford. Her name's Trent, and she's staying at the Crown.
Right. I'm going across to have a bit of a talk to her.
To tell you the truth, Inigo, I don't know what to do about this offer from Bournemouth.
Shall I tell you what I think? I think you're tired of it. Not of us.
Certainly not.
No, but the business itself. I suspect you've had enough.
And I was thinking just the same about you. Suppose Susie left us.
What?
There you are, you see.
As a matter of fact, Susie doesn't seem particularly keen on the Bournemouth offer. None of the younger ones are, you know.
Well, you'd have thought Elsie would jump at it.
Yes, but she's got a serious admirer.
Oh.
One Dulver. Looks like a pink egg, runs a chain of hotels.
I see.
No, it's the old hands who are all for Bournemouth. They think it's a marvellous offer, absolutely. Resident season, guaranteed, all their dreams come true.
I know, poor dears. Perhaps we should accept it. After all, I'm still about £200 to the bad, even now we're doing so well.
Well, then, you must carry on. They can't allow you to retire still losing on the show. I'll go.
Yes?
Oh, dear.
A gent to see you. Name of Rivers and smell of whiskey. Will you have a look at him?
Well, I...
Oh, young man! I'll tell the others you haven't made up your mind yet about Bournemouth.
Now then, my name's Ridders, and I don't mind telling you how, I'm the Triangle New Era Cinema Company Unlimited. That means all the picture halls in these three towns.
I'm afraid I don't understand. What do you want?
Doing damn well here, aren't you?
Beg your pardon.
Not at all. Yes, doing damn well here. And you know at whose expense you're doing so damn well, at mine and my cinemas. And I'm here to have a little talk about it.
Well, I don't want to have a talk about it.
Perhaps not, but I don't.
Will you please go away and take your filthy cigar with you? How dare you come in here behaving like this?
Now, look here.
Will you please go? If you don't, I shall ask the proprietor to turn you out. Just listen to that, my dear.
I love it when it's rotten outside, and I'm not there.
And hasn't to be there for an hour or two?
Yes.
Do you know, Susie, I call myself, for once, a happy woman. Staying on in the same rooms makes this practically a resident season. Though, of course, compared with a whole summer season at Bournemouth, this is nothing.
Yes. I suppose we ought to think ourselves lucky.
Undoubtedly. Remember Rawsley, where Miss Trent found us.
I know. Only 6 months ago, too.
Mm.
Oh, Mrs. Joe, I feel a bit of a peg about this. I don't. I really, honestly don't want to spend the whole summer in concert party work at Bournemouth.
Oh, just what I said to Joe about you. Well, what you want, what you're pining for, Susie, is a big chance. That's why you're restless.
I expect you're right. Oh, let's talk about something more cheerful. Would you like the latest about Elsie and her gentleman friend?
Mm-hmm.
I believe there may be wedding bells.
Hmm. She never had her heart in the profession.
Hey, I've been looking for you.
Oh, Mr. O'Croyd, nice to see you.
Hi. Miss Trant wanted to bring that there red dress round at the theatre tonight.
Oh, all right. You won't see me in that much longer, Mr. O'Croyd.
Oh?
I'm giving Miss Trant my notice tonight. I'm getting married.
That's right.
Bert, this is Mr. O'Croyd, our propsman.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. O'Croyd. Hope to see you at wedding. Drinking our ale.
Good enough, I'll be there.
Well, Elsie, best be off. Bet you don't know what we're doing, Mr. O'Croyd.
Uh-huh.
Choosing the ring.
Oh! Well, that's one going at Toadlock. Now it's started, mark my word, Elsie's nobbit first. More to follow, for I'm a Dutchman.
Oh, just look at that view, Susie.
Hmm. There's a lot of it.
Oh, it's such a relief to get away from the theatre for an hour or two. What with Elsie's wedding and the new girl starting, there are just too many problems at the moment.
Oh, the very superior Miss Mimi Potter. Honestly, she's poisonous. Jimmy should never have hired her.
I must admit she was rather terrible yesterday. Do you suppose that was why there was all that catcalling in the audience?
It must have been. It's never happened before. What's the matter?
I thought I saw someone I know. Or used to know.
Really? It's that man you once told me about, isn't it?
What?
Dr. McIntyre. The one on the boat.
Dr. McFarlane. Yes, I thought it was. But it was all so quick.
Haven't you ever tried to find out where he is?
No, I haven't.
But he may have been here all the time. Doctors ought to be easy to find. What's his first name?
Hugh. Oh, do be quiet, Susie. He'll have forgotten all about me by now.
So when we got back, I went round to the Free Library and looked at that book with all the doctors in.
The medical register, absolutely.
And it was stuffed with McFarlane's. But he isn't here. Isn't it a shame? But the library man said people could have moved since the book came out. So I think it probably was him, don't you?
Hmm? Yeah, absolutely.
Inigo, you haven't been listening to a word I've been saying. You're absolutely hopeless these days.
Why? Well, I suppose you're sick of seeing me about. The ironical thing is, I wouldn't be about if it weren't for you. Of course, I like the others. I'm very fond of all the old ones now. But I'm not in love with them.
Which means you are with me.
Absolutely.
Still?
Worse than ever. So, there you are.
Sorry, Inigo. Sorry, absolutely.
Tell me, are you fed up with me?
What is that exactly?
You.
Oh, you irritate me. You're so, I don't know, feeble.
Feeble?
Yes, feeble. About work. If you'd only get something done for yourself, and you could easily with those songs,
Well, I wouldn't mind so much.
That's it. Well, as a matter of fact...
Well, go on.
Nothing.
I must go. Don't forget my birthday tea on Saturday afternoon.
I'll fight a bit of magic.
Coming on.
He was a big fella, you see. Not a 15 stoner. For all fear of wind. The yellow blob's under his eye, but right.
Oh, no, young voice. Excuse me. Excuse me.
You shouldn't see him. I know you. It's George. No, I tell a lie. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. How you doing, Jobby?
You mended the old store. Good old. Snoop, better you turning up. Here yeah, we must have a gin or two, and you can tell me the same. Never mind them fellas, open the door.
Well, I'll best be off to theatre. Bye, he's been jumping, Jobby.
Here, Jason, what did you say this year's show of yours is called?
Good Companions, at the Hippodrome all this week.
The Hip, eh? You had any bother there, Jess, lately?
How do you mean?
Well, any kind of bother.
Well, there's been a bit of falling out at Bible, and that's somewhat new to us. Giving bird, they call it. There's not much of you at back.
Yeah, well, you watch out, Jess. You're in for a lot of bother if you're not careful.
Oh?
Now, never mind how I know, but I do know. You watch it, Tess.
Yes? Can I help you?
Absolutely. This is Felder and Huntsman. Music publishers? Drury Lane?
Yes?
Well then, I want to see Mr. Mr. Pitsner, please.
Mr. Pitsner doesn't see anybody without an appointment.
I have a card here from Mr. Milbrow, your Midland representative, I understand.
Oh. Well, I'll just see. Take a seat.
Feeble, am I?
If you'd like to come this way, Mr. Pitsner will see you.
Very well.
Ah, I'm glad to see you, Mr. Jollypant. I'm not always here on a Saturday, but I had Milbrad's letter about your songs, you see. Have a cigarette?
Thank you.
Yes, I've backed Milbrad's judgment once or twice, and been rather fortunate. He seems to have been quite carried away by these things of yours. Would you like to run through them on the piano?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Don't stop
that,
don't stop.
Hello, Monty. I rather think these things are what you're looking for. Things of yours, Mr. Jollyfant, and...
And the point is this, Jollyfant, you see. I'm a producer. And I can use all those numbers in my next show. Performing rights, sheet music, gramophone record.
Gramophone record?
Oh, yes, the bags of money in it. As you know, you're not tied up to anybody else, is that right?
Correct. Absolutely. Nobody in London has heard these things.
Oh, oh,
there's been a colossal hit in all sorts of places. With my troupe, you know.
Oh, good. So what do you say? The terms will be all right.
I've got a good deal to say. And I've got some terms of my own. Huh? I hope they won't surprise you.
Here. You're not taking them away, are you?
Until you've agreed my terms, I am.
I must say, I don't quite...
I want you to see a friend of mine, one of the gals in our concert party.
Ah.
She's a genius, the real thing.
Seems to me I've heard that somewhere before. Leave this to me, Pitsner. Now then, my boy, Don't you worry your head about your concert party. You've done with that.
Because you've taken my songs, you mean?
That's right.
Can't be done. Those are my terms. You've got to have a look at this gal, otherwise, no songs.
But my dear chap, it's absurd.
Her name's Susie Dean. If you saw her, you'd jump at her. Take my word for it. Why, if somebody had told you yesterday about these songs of mine, you wouldn't have believed them.
Yeah, that's right.
But now I've heard the songs.
And tonight, you'll see this gal.
Tonight? You're crazy.
The place is Gatford.
I've never heard of it.
No Gatford. No songs. Yes, well,
I'd better be going. I have to catch the afternoon train.
All right! I'll do it. Yeah. It wrecks the rest of my day, but I can fix that. I'll drive down. Now, don't forget to see I've got a decent seat.
Yes, of course.
But my God, if this girl of yours is a frost, you'll hear something from me.
Look here, Susie, I'm awfully sorry I couldn't get here for your birthday tea.
It doesn't matter. Let me go.
Not until you've heard what I have to say. You see, I had to go out to London today.
London?
Yes. I had to see Felder and Hunterman, the music people.
Inigo, your sons. They've been hearing them. Have they taken them? Oh, do tell me, quick.
They want them, all right.
Oh, go on, go on. You're so slow.
Well, you see, that man Monty Mortimer heard them, too, and wants them for a new review of his.
Inigo, you're pulling my leg. You never saw Monty Mortimer.
I did, I tell you. He came in while I was playing.
Oh, you're made, my dear. Marvellous. I am glad. But I tell you straight, I hate to think of anyone else singing those numbers. You ought to have told him about me.
I did, woman, I did. He's coming to see the show tonight.
What?
You heard. I've reserved a seat for him. I may be feeble, but when I start...
Oh, shut up about being feeble. Gosh, what a chance! Oh, but you ought to have told me!
Well, that's the point. If nothing had happened, you'd have been disappointed and your birthday would have been mucked up. Absolutely. As it is, I forgot your present.
You didn't. The great Monty's my present. Marvellous present. Oh, Inigo, you're a darling. And the house full tonight, too. Even the box.
I didn't know the Hippodrome had a box.
Well, it has. And someone's taken it for tonight. But nobody knows who. Mrs. Joe's tremendously excited about it.
You see, with a box, you never, never know. Anybody might be in it.
Yes, I see what you mean.
They're an evening dress.
Ladies and gentlemen, by special request, the trumpeter.
Let's duck it in.
The trumpeter.
Oh, little
sunshine, dear. If the gentleman of the band doesn't shut up, he'll be ready for some of
them. That they're at it again. I'm convinced it's all a put-up affair, Miss Trent.
Well, we've certainly had more than our share of it this week.
If they spoil it for me tonight, I'll kill them the beast.
Oh, if there's to be anything of that sort, my dear, Joe will do it. Oh, just listen to that. The trumpet will be in by now.
You've got to stop it before Monty Mortimer gets here.
Monty Mortimer? The big reviewer?
Yes. Inigo went up to town today, saw him, and persuaded him to come and see us tonight.
Well, where's he sitting?
Fourth row of the stalls. He's not here yet, but he's coming all right. Inigo got a wire.
Oh, Susie!
It's your chance.
Can't you tell them to stop that row, Miss Trump?
Please. I'm going to now. I'm going to find the manager and have them turned up.
Now, where the manager is? He did also have been here.
Now,
I don't know what they're doing here at all.
Send out for a policeman.
There ought to be a puppy about. Excuse me, sir. Can I help you?
Yes. There should be a ticket in my name. Mortimer.
Oh, yes. Mr. Jonathan told me special. I'll be 4 hours at all.
Standing on an empty stage, the band has packed and gone. The make-believe and magic cease to be. And as the limelight dies, a dream comes to my eyes. Because I know the real...
We sent out for a policeman, Jimmy. He's at the back of the stores now.
Thank God.
And Mr. Morton has arrived. Number now, please, while they're going for it.
All right, Susie. Come on, I'll announce you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the next act will be your own, your very own, Miss Susie Dean.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to sing a song which was specially written for me by our pianist, Mr. Inigo Jonathan. It's called Going Home. Thank you. When I'm far away from you, love, tossing, turning in my bed, if you'd care to peep inside my restless sleep, these homesick dreams you'd find within my head. Going home, my heart is flying like a dove, grave thy tongue. And very near the rainbow then, my heart with another message to my love, I'm going home to
champion. That were a right treat, Suze, lass.
Oh, nearly first. What a night. Let's run away to Canada together, Jack Blood, and see your Lily. What do you say?
Gee, we would have a do. But listen here. There's going to be a right bit of bother here tonight. I've had a look at young lot at back, and they're game for out. If young Bobby goes back on his beat up at interval, we'll be in for it.
Leave it to me, Jimmy. I've managed tougher houses than this. Somebody's going to get such a plug in the lug before long.
Shush, Joe. No need for vulgarity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall now require a few members of the audience to assist me in one or two sleights of hand, thereby proving to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is absolutely no deception.
Lord, mate, come on. Come on with you.
Come on, Abbott!
Of course, will you? A few minutes of the audience only, please.
Now, watch it, man.
Hey. Why don't you people keep quiet, Peter? They put the house locked off. Outside!
Get out of there!
Get out of here! Take your seats, ladies and gentlemen! Jimmy, where are you? Not all fault. This is ridiculous.
Right. I've had about enough.
Careful, Joe.
Take that.
Oh, Joe. What's the matter? He's not our Monty Mortimer.
It'd have been all nout, Inspector, if they hadn't gone and shouted fire like that.
But there was a fire.
No, there wasn't. Not when they were shouting. Fire come after and it went out. Me and Inigo put most on it out our stands, easy.
That's true. Well, who started it?
Chaps that came from back at pit. Shoved me out at way and turned lights off and all. It must have been them as shouted fire.
Sure of it.
What did they say at the hospital about Miss Trant and the others?
Well, it's not so bad. The little man, Mum, only got a crack on the head. He's all right. The London fellow was more angry than hurt, I think. Oh, Lord. He insisted on going back south. We can't find any trace of Mr. Jerningham, though, and the lady is suffering from shock and a fractured arm, that's all. No need for anybody to worry.
Well, well, well.
Hello?
Miss Elizabeth Trant.
Dr. Hugh MacFarlane.
I'll leave you to have a chat then, Doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
How did you know I was here?
I was visiting a patient and saw your name.
I thought you would have forgotten all about me.
Not at all. I recognized you as soon as I came in.
I thought I saw you in a car the other day.
A red two-seater?
Yes.
Then it was me. I wish I'd known you were here.
As a matter of fact, I tried to find out if you were here, but your name wasn't in the telephone book.
Well, I've only just arrived. That hasn't been time to put me in the directory. But what about you? I never knew you had inclinations towards the stage.
Oh, it's all rather ridiculous. I must say, it doesn't seem very funny just now. After Saturday night.
Well, you're going to have a nice rest here until your arm's mended and your nerves are quiet again. And if there's anything that must be done, let me do it for you.
Oh, I can't worry you with my silly affairs. I'm sure you've too much to do as it is.
Not at all. An old bachelor like me has time for anything.
You haven't married, then?
No. Up to now. I seem to have been too busy. Will you be going on with this, stage business?
Oh, no. The minute they can get on without me, I shall give it up. But just at the moment. We had taken the Hippodrome for another week, but I don't suppose it's fit to use.
Well, it certainly isn't from what I hear.
Oh, that's the awful thing. I'm responsible for all that damage.
You mean they'll come on to you to pay for it?
At least so. Just as I thought I should get back most of the money I'd lost.
You're tired now, Elizabeth?
I believe I am.
Should I have said Miss Trant?
No, of course not.
Too much talking, it's my fault.
Don't go for a minute, Hugh.
Hmm?
Let me talk a little longer, and then I shall feel better. What do you think I ought to do?
If it's a matter of talking to the law, then a local man is what you want. A man who knows what goes on in this town. There's a solicitor here. He's a patient of mine of the name of Gooch. A fat fellow, but sharp as a needle. I'll go and talk to him about it.
Inigo, you've not had a reply.
I have. It's not from Monty Mortimer himself, it's from his secretary.
It's a washout, isn't it? Go on now.
Dear sir, I have communicated your yesterday's wire to Mr. Mortimer, and he requests me, in reply, to tell you to go to the devil. And that's that. I'm awfully sorry, Susie.
Don't be silly. It's not your fault. It's a washout, that's all. Oh, Lord, where's my handkerchief? By the way, I saw Jimmy this morning.
Better?
Practically. He won't be fit to work for a week or two, though, and he says that Mimi Porter's gone.
Good riddance.
Yes. I haven't seen Jeff at all, either, have you?
No, not a whisker. And nobody seems to know anything about Master Jerningham.
Oh, he's pushed off, too, I expect. He would.
No, I don't know. He may turn up babbling about his trises again. Where was that? Cuba, wasn't it? Gosh. The holes we've been in, Susie.
It's nothing to the hole we're in now, laddie. We're in a mess. Busted, absolutely. Funny about Jess. It's not like him to disappear. Hello? What's that?
That's a car. And it's stopping here.
Let me have a look. I've seen that car before somewhere. Something's going to happen, Inigo.
Oh, Miss Dean, there's a show over here with a message for you.
A what? Oh, it's Lawley.
That's correct, miss. Lady Partlet's chauffeur. Ladyship wants you to come round to her hotel for lunch. And you, sir, too. I had to tell you that they'll be expecting you as soon as you could get round.
They? Who? What's it all about?
Well, it's a bit of a surprise, miss. You'll soon see.
Yes, and only this very morning. Oh, what a rush, my dear.
But it's lovely. And I'm sure you'll both be marvellously happy.
Absolutely.
Oh, now, isn't that nice? Oh, here we are, darling. And they were both so surprised. Isn't it amusing?
Marvellous, Jerry. I'm so glad.
Yes, absolutely. Many happy returns. I mean, best wishes and all that.
Thanks, Lucy. Thanks, Inigo. Glad you could come to lunch.
And we've got another surprise for you, haven't we, darling? Isn't Mr. Mensworth coming?
He's just passing through a cow to turn.
Mr. Mensworth? Not the...
Yes, my dear. The Emperor. Isn't that what you theatre people call him?
The Emp? The greatest producer in the business.
And here he is. Oh, let's have our lunch.
Miss Dean? Mr. Jonathan, on Saturday night I had the pleasure of seeing your show here.
It was you in the box.
Of course it was. It was all going to be such a nice surprise.
To my astonishment, I discovered that here, playing in Gatford, are three young people of real, quite undoubted talent.
Yeah.
First, a young comedian who can sing, who can dance, who has charm and personality. Yes. Second, a juvenile leader. Well, I know all about Jerry now, so I needn't say anymore. And third, a young composer who can write songs that get across and stay there.
Absolutely.
Well, I came to Gatford, I saw, and I was conquered.
I'm sorry, but I couldn't help thinking about Monty Mortimer, who came and saw and was conquered, too.
And I hope he's still feeling it, mean beast.
My God, Jollyfond, what is all this about?
Ah, Monty. So you know Monty, do you?
You see, he was there on Saturday, too.
What?
Only in all the fighting, he got hurt.
Knocked out by our baritone, absolutely.
Monty knocked out? Oh, what a story. Ah, champagne. We must drink to this. We really must. Why, if the story got about, Monty will be at my mercy. But this has its serious side. Are you tied up with him in any way?
He told us to go to the devil.
What a rude man.
It's the Oriental, my dear lady. Monty is not a sportsman, never was. Well, I don't say that he couldn't have done a great deal for you, but I can do more. I can put you there.
And you will, won't you, Mr. Mensworth?
I will try.
Oh, golly, it's marvellous. Isn't it, Inigo?
Absolutely. Oh, but it's the end. The very end of the good companions.
Yes,
it is. I'd forgotten that. What about Jimmy and the Joes and Mr. Mitchum? Oh, what are they going to do now, poor darlings? Oh, it's a shame. They'll have to find work with another concert party. And it won't be easy getting into a good one, because the season's nearly beginning.
Oh, now, that reminds me. I ran across a fellow called Bellaby the other day who was getting a resident concert party together for some resort or other, Eastbourne, Hastings. In fact, he asked me if I could recommend him a few decent people.
Oh, but that would be marvellous. Do you think this man would take them?
Not a word from me. I'll get my secretary to wire him.
Goodness! There'll be so much to tell Miss Trant.
I'd forgotten about Miss Trant.
It'll be all right. I believe she'll be glad. After all, she has her Scotch doctor now.
Well, Elizabeth, this is Mr. Gooch, the solicitor I mentioned to you.
Oh, yes. How do you do, Mr. Gooch?
Pleased to meet you, Miss Trant.
And Mr. Oakroyd, this is very nice. I didn't expect to see you.
Miss Trant.
Very well, thank you. Have you come here with Mr. Gooch?
That's right. He said I'd better tell you, Miss Trant.
And you got hold of the other chap, did you?
He's here, Aunt Matt. Do you want him in?
If Miss Trant doesn't mind.
Well, of course I don't mind, but what is it all about?
Well, it's like this here, Miss Trant. I met an old friend of mine on Thursday last week, and he says, have good companions at any bother, because they're going to have some right sharp. Something like that. So, after all row, I thought, how did he know we were going to have some bother?
Go on, Mr. O'Croyd, this is exciting.
So I set off to look for this here friend of mine. He was 40 mile away on road. He weren't set on coming back, but he come and finished being a pal of mine. I'll fetch him.
You really think there's something in this, Gooch?
I'm pretty sure there is. Pretty sure.
This is him. Joby Jackson. Now, Joby, lad, you tell him yourself.
Now then.
You're not making a police court job of this, are you? If you are, I want to keep out.
No, no, it isn't that sort of business at all.
Good enough, then. Well, I'm here in Getford, see, in a boozer with some of the lads. I don't mean pals of mine, but I knew some of them. The other fellas was all in a clique, you know, a gang.
Yes.
Then in comes a fella, very friendly-like, looks us over, and orders drinks all round. Well, sensation in court. Then, when we're all well into the pig's ear, he sort of gathers us round-like and says quietly, any of you fellas like to earn some easy money paying somebody off? And he says, before we go any further, who's game? Well, I thought, don't like the look of you, chum. Too much looking over the shoulder, so me and two or three more wasn't in it. We sits in the other corner, trying to look as if we wasn't still drinking a beer he paid for. He whispers for about 10 minutes and slings it. But I got something about a show at the hip.
And what?
Hippodrome. When he goes, the other fellas lets on see. Why don't you come in, they says, quid each for sitting at the back of the hip and giving them the bird. And perhaps another quid for Saturday if it pans out all right.
But why? I don't understand. Who was this man?
Now we come to it. Who was he?
Oh, I never heard his name.
But can't you remember anything about him?
Let's see. Biggish bloke.
Yes.
He was a clean shave.
Yes.
Reddish face, a big cigar.
Yes.
Baggy under the eyes, poached egg style. Too much whiskey, Miss.
Yes. Yes.
Here. Half a minute. Pictures.
Pictures?
That's right, you know, films, cinemas.
What's his name, Ridvers?
You've got it, chum, Ridvers, that's it.
Well, I know Mr. Ridvers, and I also know he's trying to sell his 3 cinema halls to a big syndicate.
Good heavens.
Hello? Do you know him, too?
Well, there
There was this horrid man pushed his way into my room at the hotel two or 3 weeks ago. And he said he had something to do with cinemas here. He was awfully rude, so I just told him to go. I'm sure that must be the same man.
So am I. I'm a mind to call him, this Redmouth.
Yeah, leave it to me, Doctor. I'll attend to him. If Mr. Jackson here will give me as many names of those other fellows as he can remember, we'll not trouble him any further.
Right.
And that'll help to show Mr. Ridmus we know all about his little games.
Well done, Mr. O'Groyd. That's fine.
Oh, isn't it? I'm very, very grateful to you.
Nay, I've done nought. It's your will I've done, Trick.
No, it's you, really. And I haven't seen you since we've all broken up.
There's Sue's, and then you go off to London this afternoon. Yes, sure. Although I'm right glad they're doing so well, I'll be right sorry to see them go. I will that.
Tell me, what are you going to do?
I've been so thronged with this business, I don't fairly know. I'm a bit worried about things back at home, like.
In Bradford?
I've not had word for weeks now, and last I heard, my wife was right poorly.
Oh, I am sorry.
So I think I'd best go and see what's to do.
Well, leave me your address, won't you? Because I may want to get in touch with you.
You gut fathead, Leonard. Why didn't you let me know afore your mother was so poorly?
I couldn't.
Of course you could.
I didn't know at first. And then when Ma was sick and so bad, she said, don't tell your father. It's the last thing she did say to me.
It's a bad business.
Postman, I'll go. Oh, tell me. Two for you and one for me.
It's from Gatford.
Dear Mr. O'Croyd, I was so sorry to hear of your wife's death. Please accept my deepest sympathy. I have some news for you. Mr. Gooch has frightened this man Ridworth into paying the claim for damages, which means that I have been saved a good deal thanks to you. You will hear from Mr. Gooch very shortly. The other news is that Dr. McFarlane and I are to be married soon and will live just outside Gatford. Will you please come and talk over your plans when you can get away?
She'll not have to pay. Hey, I'm glad of that.
Good news, sir. So is mine. I've been offered a job in Manchester. More money and better tips.
Aye? Well, I'm glad you can look after yourself, lad. We must sell up Thorne, then.
Aye. No good keeping it if you're not going to stop in Brudersford.
Well, I'm not.
What's your other letter?
Oh, I'd forgotten that. What's this? Look at this, Leonard.
Well, I'll be blowed. It's a cheque, is that? What you got it for, pal?
It's from Lawyer.
Dear sir, following the instructions of our client, Miss E. Trant, we have pleasure in sending you herewith our cheque for £100.
Yes.
Yours faithfully, Goring, Son, and Gooch.
Yes, it's out of all reason. £100?
Depends what you did, doesn't it? Bye, it never rains when it pours.
Cable for Mr.
Gale,
Groy.
Sonny,
eh?
Oh, right. Ah. Mr. Marley, the cable.
Oh, well, open it, lad. My hand's trembling.
Very grieved. All love. If you come out here, very welcome. And good job any time. Lily and Jack.
What about that, Leonard? She wants me to go.
Then will you?
Will I, heck is like? I can do it on your £100. I'll go down to the shipping agency in Shuttle Street this very day. By gow, I'll have some tale to tell our Lily when I see her. And I'll set sail from Southampton, too, so I can see them all on my way down south. Miss Trant in Gatford, Susie and Inigo in London, Jimmy and them in Bournemouth, Joby, wherever I can find them. All the good companions.
The day may well be late. We're forced to wait in the rain and snow and storm. And the days may well be cold. The fears are old, and it's guilt and pain in life. Well, we're hurt and sorry eyes. You think our troubles are too cold. And we'll all say good companions, good companions, good companions. From the friends we love the
That was The Good Companions by J.B. Priestley, dramatised by Elizabeth Proud, with Hannah Gordon as Miss Trant, Bernard Cribbins as Oakroyd, and Christopher Schuller as Inigo. Elizabeth Mansfield played Susie, Lily and the Waitress, John Webb, Jerry Jerringham and Willie, Sonny Ormond, Elfie, Effie and Mr. Pilsner's secretary, and John Baddeley, Jimmy Nunn and Mr. Gooch. The parts of Mrs. Joe and Mrs. Turvin were played by Jill Graham, Turvin, Monty Mortimer and Summer, Christopher Scott, Lady Partlet and Ethel, Geraldine Fitzgerald, Joby Jackson, Gareth Armstrong and Morton Mitchum, John Hollis. John Harwood played Joe Brundett, Richard Pierce, Hilary and Leonard, David Bannerman, Eric Ridvers and Dr. Hugh, Ginny Mears, Mrs. Tipstead, Curry and Mrs. Oakroyd, and Elizabeth Proud, Mrs. Mounder. The part of Fauntley and Mr. Memsworth was played by Philip Anthony, the Reverend Chillingford, Uncle Arthur and Mr. Pittner, John Evitts, and Dalver and Mr. Priestley, Dominic Letts. Other parts were played by members of the company. The banjo was played by Judd Proctor with Helen Boole on drums. The composer and pianist was Malcolm McKee. The Good Companions was directed by Sue Wilson.